Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Amen and amen. That's Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, August 29th, 2025. Oh, listening friend, you're in for a double blessing. We're going to continue with our study of the Lord's Prayer as facilitated by Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church in Springfield. We began it last week, and we'll see how far along we get today. We actually left off at, give us today our daily bread. So we're going to pick up right there, and I trust as you tune in, hopefully for the next 20 or so minutes, there's a blessing in store for you, because this was a prayer that the Lord taught his disciples and wants us to pray this very day, a couple thousand years removed, but still pertinent and applicable to our lives today. We get to know our Heavenly Father in a personal way. He loves us. He cares for us. He delights to actually answer our prayers and have a conversation. Sometimes that means that we just listen to him, which is incredible that he wants to hear our voice, but he also wants to speak to us. And Jesus modeled this prayer as his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so the words that Bernie Lechman just shared are those very words. I know some will say, forgive us our trespasses, and others will say, forgive us our sins. But it's the same content, the same meaning that the Lord wants to engage us to seek after him and to know him and to ask him to forgive us our sins. And then we also need to respond by forgiving others. So Pastor Mark Johnson's going to walk us through some conversation. And if you missed last week's broadcast, last Friday, August 22nd, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. So I hope you'll look it up in case you missed it, or maybe you want to hear it again. But today we're going to pick up right where we left off with give us today our daily bread. And Mark, last week you talked about that rock. Do you want to relay? Because I see it's still here again. What's the significance of bringing that rock and setting it on our studio counter here?
Well, just to remind us of the awesomeness of God and our limitations. You know, as we look at this passage right here, my mind goes back to the children of Israel. And the children of Israel are enslaved in Egypt. And God miraculously delivers them. And they come through the Red Sea. And what do they go into? They go into a desert. And you got all these people, masses of people. And they need food and they need water. Legitimate needs. Legitimate needs. I need food and I need water. For us to live, we need that. And they begin to say, it would have been better for us just to go back to Egypt, to live in Egypt, than to be out here in this desert. And God provided the food for them. God provided water for them. But their attitude angered him. And they came under judgment for their attitude. We as a people, this whole thing of prayer is about how do we approach an almighty God. We approach him with humility. We approach him with requests. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, we're praying for it. We're asking him, recognizing you're the giver of all these gifts. Supply them for us, we pray, and give us the ability to discover the pathway to that.
I think this discussion happened off air last week as we continued to talk, and it was fun having all these friends in the studio. It became kind of like a small group setting. But we talked about how before we give God our laundry list, if you will, of our needs and help us with this and meet this need, we first honored and praised him. So maybe share a little of that conversation, because it's so important to get that part right, that we're approaching a holy, loving, sovereign God, but he is sovereign and he is holy.
Well, the more I see the greatness of God, the smaller my problems become. Mm. The more I see who God is, and I know that He is my Father, I know that He loves me, I know that He's looking out for me, I know that He is on my side, He's with me, then my problems begin to shrink. I can come to Him with a right spirit and a right attitude where I know who He is, and I'm not just concentrating on my issues. Mm-hmm. I'm concentrating on who He is and how I approach Him.
And we did share a little bit last week about when we call God our Father. We talked about our Father who art in heaven, give us our daily bread. It's kind of this, we're not just praying for ourselves, but it's more community-minded. And I think that was the mindset of many of the Jewish people at the time. Us Americans, oftentimes, it's, you know, my way or the highway, or do it this way. This is what I want. But Jesus is encouraging us or modeling for us that we go to our Father. God is not just ours, it's all of ours.
Yes.
So after last week's discussion and sharing, did anyone have a takeaway? Did you pray maybe differently, or did you think of God in new ways because we emphasize hallowed be His name and His kingdom come, His will be done? We learned about submitting to that. Any thoughts or changes in the way you pray?
Well, it's made me realize that so many broadcasts, not spiritual, will say, my truth. This is my truth. And everybody seems to be focusing on what their own personal truth is and how important my truth is. And there isn't just my truth. And this whole prayer is all about us and our and we. And that's a new mm-hmm. way to look at it mm-hmm. for me.
Hey, Brent, I'm going to put you on the spot because I know you've been a part of BMIC, Businessmen in Christ, and Bernie's prayer gatherings and different events where you love to pray with people. Have you had much interaction with the Lord's Prayer? Have you prayed it over years, or do you just like to jump right in and just worship God in a different way when you praise Him?
The Lord's Prayer is a very basic foundational. It's a very personal and intimate prayer. It is a foundation on how we pray. And He gave it as an example or model, but the passion in which He prayed it, as He was praying and interceding for us, is basically a model for us on how we need to pray and intercede for everything that we're praying for. And the four or five different parts of the prayer, He's specifically giving direction on how that passion should be played out mm-hmm. and how to do it, because basically all prayer is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And basically what it is that all power to pray is through the Holy Spirit. And that is how we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray with everything that the Holy Spirit has given to us, because everything He's given us is in us, by us, and through us. And that's how we do it.
Well, I was thinking, Mark, before we started last week in the Lord's Prayer, a week before that, you talked about if God answered all the prayers we made that week, what difference would it make, or what would we pray, or how would we pray differently? And that was, I think, one of the catalysts that got me thinking more about prayer. Like, if God answered all my prayers this week, what impact would it have? Would it be just like self-centered things I was praying for, or would it be worldwide impact, evangelistic? Would it be praying for people all over the world? And so that really challenged me to think through, am I praying narrow prayers more specifically
sure.
for me, or global?
Yeah, I think we need to think of the big picture of what God's wanting to do. I look at the Lord's Prayer, and I've read and studied this, that you're looking at Him laying out prayer topics. Here are the things I should be praying about. Now, I don't have to just recite those words. If I'm praying for my bread and God give me my daily needs change from day to day. And I can come before Him that day with those daily needs. Whatever that might be inside of the Lord's Prayer, if you look at those lines as topics of prayer that the Holy Spirit now, as Brent said, flows through you in that moment to pray for what is needed in that moment, then the Holy Spirit leads you through those things, and you have the freedom in those things to express whatever need you're facing with the right spirit before God.
So that concept of the daily bread, as you're kind of referring or mentioning, it could be food, it could be various things that are necessary or are needed. But what other kinds of or forms of bread or provision or wisdom or maybe insight or strength would also kind of qualify that God delights in answering as we sincerely pray and seek after Him?
I just think anything in life that's necessary. You know, if you need wisdom for something, if you need to know how to conduct yourself in a certain set of circumstances, if you need to know how to raise your children the right way or speak to an ungodly child that's far from God, how do you talk to them? How do you minister to them? Show me today what I need for today to do your work on this earth.
Now, June, I love putting people on the spot. They just never know if I'm going to call on them. On the Friday broadcast, you were the one that recited, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." You know, forgive those that have trespassed against us or those that have sinned against us, you know, as we forgive others. And it kind of implies that God is saying and Jesus is teaching us that it's important that we forgive others so we can also be forgiven. Do you have any thoughts on that? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
That's okay. I think that forgiveness is so essential. When we forgive, we are giving up our rights to, after being hurt by someone, we give up that right to hurt that person back. And oftentimes, that's our instinct. You know, someone hurt me, I hurt them back. But what we forget is that we had just prayed and asked God to forgive us of the things that we've done or said. And so we are saying, it's like, remember the parable of the gentleman that was forgiven by his boss and turned around and went back and was demanding so much more from his friend who had owed him just a little. And so we always have to remember that when we forgive someone, that's equivalent to what God has forgiven us so much more, that we should be humbled and come before every situation with a contrite heart, saying, okay, I forgive you. It doesn't matter how much that person hurt us, because God has already forgiven us.
I like that passage, Pastor Mark. Those who have been forgiven much love much. And I think anytime I start having that big plank in my eye and I'm looking at the speck in somebody else's eye, I'm just reminded, Lord, I'm a full-time project for you. I don't need to worry about everyone else sinning or falling short, because, you know, you need to just work on me. And so I'm constantly amazed at how good and gracious he is and that he forgives me. And so I'm kind of compelled, if you will, to forgive others because of what he teaches here.
Well, my father taught us that this is a dangerous part of that prayer. Forgive me the way I forgive others. Well, if you're not forgiving others, you're just saying, God, I don't forgive anybody. I don't forgive these people who've hurt me. I don't forgive them that have done these bad things to me. So don't forgive me. So what God is showing us is that the gift of his forgiveness is because we've hurt others, because we've hurt him, we've hurt the kingdom, and we need to ask for that forgiveness from him. And in turn, if our nature's been changed, and we have the nature of God in us, then we don't carry the bitterness of how other people have wounded us. We carry the forgiveness of how God has forgiven us.
Now, I shared this a bit last week and even before we began today's broadcast, but this next part of the Lord's Prayer was revolutionary to me a few years back. I don't know, maybe 5 or 7 years back. But as a child, I always wondered, "And lead us not into temptation." And I always thought, just seems so weird. Of course the Lord wouldn't lead us into temptation. Why would we pray, lead us not into temptation? And I then learned that maybe a better rendering was to not allow us to yield to temptation. And that just seemed to make so much more sense. So I want to share that with y'all listening, friend, because maybe you always wondered, would the Lord lead me into temptation? Why am I supposed to pray that he won't? Well, maybe a better rendering or a way to look at it is you're really asking the Lord, help me not yield to temptation. Help me be strong or fortify me or go before me, be around me, surround me. Help me not yield to temptation. And so I think about that word yield all the time. Lord, help me today not yield to temptation. So maybe that'll be a breakthrough for you like it was for me. But any other thoughts, Pastor Mark, or others on that sense of asking the Lord to help us not yield to temptation?
I think we face temptation every day. And so this idea of letting the Lord, we talked about this in the last couple of weeks, letting the Lord speak to us and us listening to the Lord so that we avoid that temptation. We turn from it. We flee from the temptation.
I was going to say that it seems to me that it makes better sense to me to say, lead us not into temptation, rather deliver us from evil. In other words, showing us such an extreme contrast what we're saying. We want to be delivered from evil. And please, Lord, don't lead us into temptation, but rather deliver us from evil. Mm-hmm.
I agree with everything. My point of view, which is comforting to me, is that this gives us an opportunity to praise the Lord for his faithful leading in our lives. We're not walking in the darkness. We're following his light, and we're praising him for that honest, true light.
Mm. I just wanted to say there's another thought, too. Instead of saying temptation, do not lead us into the hands of the test. So when you are a student, which we all are as we follow Christ, we're learning every day how to be more like him. So when a teacher prepares a lesson for a student, there's usually a test. So the Lord is leading us into this test, not for him to know how we're doing, but maybe to reveal to us what is really happening in our own hearts. And so that we know, this is what I need to work on today because I faltered here today. Maybe I need to work on being more patient. Maybe my kindness is failing. Maybe I've got an inner hurt that keeps coming back. And the Lord's putting me through this test until I can pass it.
Mm. I like that.
The one thing that kind of came to me, praying for wisdom and discernment, but there's a very simple saying, 411 prayers help us to avoid 911 prayers, mm-hmm. which basically means as we pray for wisdom and discernment, kind of like the provision to know what to do and what not to do, because what might appear as a temptation one time might not necessarily be the same thing later on. But if we're praying for wisdom and discernment and peace and the joy when we're following in God's will, if we deal with it moment by moment, day by day, month by month, it's because it's going to be different, it's shifting, because life is constantly changing. So that one thing about 411 prayer instead of 911 prayer, it's always better to be prepared and not have to deal with it than have to deal with it after fact.
Now, Mark, for that listener that's driving to work or traveling or somebody that's maybe incarcerated that can get our frequency in the prisons, they feel like failures. They've succumbed to temptation over and over again. The bondage is great. They just feel like, how can I pray because I fail? I just can't make it. Would God even listen to me? What would you say to maybe that person or the power of temptation, how it can be overwhelming?
Now, the power of temptation can be very overwhelming, but this is why we have the church. This is why we have the Holy Spirit. It's why we have the Word. The enemy lies to us even about that. So we fail. He tells us always to fail. He's always going to beat us up and say, you're not going to be able to be heard. The promise that we have in this scripture is that God our Father hears us, that God our Father is listening. We can always come to him. We are like prodigals. We do need to come back to him. But he is also like the good father who welcomes us when we come back.
I believe, Pastor Mark, that it goes along with what you said earlier. The more I learn and yield to Jesus, surrender, the smaller my problem becomes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's so true.
And I'm thinking again, Pastor Mark, of what you said some weeks back, that what difference would our prayers make if we really believed God was going to be answering them? And would we pray grander prayers than just maybe that job or that health report or certain things that maybe are more personal? If God was going to answer all of our prayers, would we be more about the Lord's work and seeking after him? And so, listening friend, I'm sure you're dealing with battles today. There's temptations all around us, and there's the evil one. We haven't really talked about them, but it says, but deliver us from the evil one. So what would be maybe a prayer, Pastor Mark, that we would pray? Maybe it's even that putting on the full armor of God, but how can we be equipped through this prayer or through other prayers to ward off the evil one's attacks?
Well, we have to understand how the enemy attacks us. He attacks all of us a little. He knows our weakness, and so he attacks us in our weakness. But when we know that, we begin to pray, God, deliver me from this weakness. Set me free from this temptation. Help me to overcome this. So my temptation may be anger. I may have a quick temper. And I face that. This is not the will of God. The anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I need delivered from this anger. God, help me, deliver me, move in my life. I'm opening my heart to you. I'm not making excuses for it. I'm not saying, oh, this way my dad was or my grandfather was or everybody else. This is just our family. No, I'm looking at it saying, this is the work of the evil one, and it's been working in our life for generations. That can be a habit. It can be an addiction. God, deliver us from how the enemy's moving in my specific life today.
Amen. And listening, friend, I think we mentioned it on last week's broadcast, but the concluding words that many of us, most churches say is, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen, many of us will say. That was added on by the church fathers centuries ago, but it's a beautiful way to close out a prayer that's honoring God, that's celebrating his goodness, and that he does care and love each and every one of us. And so when we go into saying and praying the Lord's Prayer, we want to always begin with honoring him, worshiping him, celebrating his goodness before we share our laundry list. And so I hope you've been blessed by last week and today's edition of Mark and Friends. We went through the Lord's Prayer as recounted in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast or last week and you want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org. Click on the Mark and Friends tab and you'll see it highlighted as Going Through the Lord's Prayer. Well, I hope you've been blessed by what's been said and shared, and God does love to hear from you and he loves to speak with you. So find those quiet moments where you can really be attentive to his leading with his prodding, and get in church this Sunday. There's many pastors that have prepared a message just for you. God will speak through them and encourage you. He loves you, and so make time to get rested on Saturday night so you can be very attentive for Sunday worship. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mark Johnson from Calvary Church and a room of friends. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. With the ministry of Great News Media, God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.